Good morning. It is 10 a.m. on September 18, 2023, and we will call to order the Tarrant County 911 Emergency Assistance District Board of Managers meeting. Move to roll call.
Jeffrey Hinsdale.
Present.
Rick Brunson.
Here.
Robert Aldridge. Robert Brooks.
Here.
Sam Hall.
Here.
Jonathan Ingles. Burr Richardson.
Here.
Valerie Washington.
Here.
Wade Olson.
Here.
Bill Paxton.
Here.
Move to item number two, any agenda announcements?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Move to item number three, the consent agenda. Looking for a motion to approve items A, B, and C on the consent agenda.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, first from Ms. Washington, second from Mr. Brunson. All in favor?
Aye.
Pass. Move to item number four, legislative update. Mr. Paxton.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning.
Last month, we talked a lot about the November constitutional amendment election and broadband amendment on the ballot. And there was discussion about what the board can and cannot do in terms of advocating for or against a measure. Since that time, the 911 Alliance had their attorneys draft two resolutions. One is strictly for public safety associations that expressly supports the broadband initiative. And, you know, public safety organizations or associations can spend however much money they want to telling voters to vote for or against something. Obviously, you're in a very different situation. So the second resolution that the Alliance attorneys drafted is strictly more for voter education and encouraging voters to actually go out and vote. The idea is the Broadband Now Coalition, and I mentioned them last month. This is a group that AT&T is spearheading along with some other business organizations to try to pass this broadband amendment. They've done statewide polling, and the polling that I've seen is very strong support for our initiative. One thing they've noticed is voters had no idea that this broadband ballot measure includes money for 911 and public safety. And whenever that has come up in the poll and they've talked to voters about it, the support for that ballot measure then goes up. So the Alliance thought, if we can get districts around the state to pass resolutions not supporting this measure, but just raising awareness and informing voters and educating voters of what this measure actually does, then that's a good thing. But as Sherry and Wayne and I have talked, you know, it's such a thin line to walk. Because the Ethics Commission has ruled many different ways of, well, this is actually not just education. The way you worded this or the tone of it is, you know, you can tell it's advocacy. So I do not think it is critical for you guys to pass this resolution. It is, I think, anything we can do to educate voters on this initiative is a good thing, but I do not think it's critical.
I'll weigh in on this a little bit. The draft packet had both resolutions in there for you to consider. I had some concerns about them for the exact reason that Bill has stated. I touched on this at the last meeting. What we can't do as a public agency is spend public monies to advocate passage or defeat of a measure. And even though this is not our measure, it's a statewide constitutional amendment, it's still prohibited under the election code to use public funds in a way that encourages voters to either vote for or against this measure. And one of them, clearly that, it comes right out and says we encourage the voters to vote in favor, and that's the one Bill's talking about for public safety organizations to adopt. That caused me the most concern. The second one has a primary focus of just encouraging voter education. And that purpose is legitimate. You can spend public money for that purpose. But I also was concerned that it still crossed the line by advocating that the public education materials, encourage people to vote for the constitutional amendment. And that's a concern. I don't want y'all to cross the line and get in trouble with that. I was telling Sheridan Bill that I have had to defend public officials in the past down at the Ethics Commission when they had charges brought up against them. When they actually hired, they engaged legislative consultants to draft the public education materials, and the Ethics Commission still believed it crossed the line. It still encouraged people to vote for something. They're very circumspect about how we spend our money. So I was talking to Bill before the meeting and asked what the purpose of adopting this resolution was versus if you're in favor of spending money to educate the public about the amendment. I thought it'd be better just to direct staff to do that rather than adopt a formal resolution, which I question what are we gonna use it for. The reality is if we wanna spend funds of the district to encourage factually neutral public education about what the amendment covers, then we can do that legally. But adopting a resolution, if you don't word it carefully, it appears that it was adopted for the reason of encouraging passage of that amendment. So my suggestion would be, if you're in favor of spending monies for public education, that we talk about that today and decide how much you want to spend and direct staff to do that, and we need to carefully check it before we publish any of these materials to make sure that it doesn't cross the line.
And I guess really, even if we direct them to spend the money to do this public education, I guess anybody could turn around and argue that it's that we're swaying the public because we're the recipient of said funding, correct?
Well, if it's factually neutral, it doesn't matter. If you're just telling the voters that this broadband amendment also can provide funding for 911 is legit. You can do that. You can explain to the voters what they're voting on. You just have to, I mean, it's little things in here where you say that the district strongly supports voter education efforts. It's like, okay, you know, if you support voter education, fine, but you don't go out of your way to push it in a way that it appears that the only reason you're supporting public education is to get people to vote for this. But I'm not worried if we word something neutral, just keep it totally neutral. Yes, people are going to say, of course you're going to want to encourage voters to be aware of what this amendment is, but that's fine as long as that's all we're doing. We're just making sure the public knows what they're voting on, and that's perfectly acceptable. But when we start slanting it in a way, start using statements like, you know, approval of these funds will allow the district to upgrade their systems and all that, that's advocating. That's something we've got to stop short of.
Is there a reason why the Alliance hasn't drafted some of this so that we just have universal language that all of the participating districts could utilize?
Well, this resolution is, that's what they're sending to everyone in the hopes that they use this language.
Okay.
And, would you think it's risky?
Yeah.
And it's 7 weeks away, this elections, and by the time we vetted anything out on our own with Wayne or Bill's support, I don't even think we'd have time to make an impact.
I will readily admit, if the Alliance has prepared this and is sending it to all the districts, you'll probably have some districts that adopt this resolution.
Okay.
I'm just a little more cautious because of my experience in the past with the Ethics Commission, and I know how they think about it, and they have the absolute right to slap a fine on any one of you who votes for a resolution that crosses the line. And it's not, I mean, the reality is, they could bring charges against any or all of you if they believed that it crossed the line. The fine would probably not be very much money at all. It's just a statement, a public statement, but it's an embarrassment to anybody that has these charges brought against them. As a matter of fact, the district can even pay the fine. You don't have to pay it individually, but the charges will be against an officer or employee of the district. It's not against the district, it's against people who authorize the use of public monies for that purpose. So I just am being cautious because I don't want you to stick your toe over the line and have somebody complain about it.
Thank you, Wayne.
So you believe the better approach is just for us to consider a directive to the staff to come up with factually based educational materials, and that you believe still limits our liability?
I do. I think I could rewrite this resolution, modify it so that it doesn't cross the line. But then the question is, what's the purpose of the resolution? What are you going to do with it? When the reality is, the resolution itself is not what's important. It's the public education materials that are important.
Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate the information. And Chair, it seems like, I guess from my perspective, as a board, we should definitely support the voter education. I feel like we can't do nothing, right? I don't think that puts the board in a good spot, but I do support voter education with fact-based information that we could do without a resolution, but it could be a statement by the board that this is something that's important to us, and we're going to do the due diligence to help voters know that that it's out there and available for them to consider on election day.
Great, thank you. Any other comments, questions? Yes, Mr. Brinson.
I agree with you, and we do have a strong public education program in the district right now. And if we craft a message that's within what you think are the bounds, it'd be really easy to put that on our webpage, put it on our social media, and we would have accomplished the same objective.
Correct.
Without spending a whole lot of money.
I think one that Wayne's suggestion is going to be much more effective than simply passing a resolution.
But yeah, I agree with what Bill said in the poll that was taken. If you just read the blurbs on the constitutional amendments, it's a broadband amendment. Some people may be in favor of that, but I think you don't realize, unless you're educated, that this is also going to be 911 funding. The fact that when people are aware of that, they're more inclined to vote in favor of it is something that we ought to consider making that happen.
But one thing, it always depends on how it's worded on the ballot, too.
Yeah.
So, because they can word it to turn people against it, too. So,
they are masters at wording it the way they want.
And to that point, the polling I've seen, the broadband measure is worded actually pretty good this time and has more favorable polling numbers than the property tax measure, which was the big legislature's big priority that they were supposed to get. That's the one that's hurting the most of all the ballot measures, simply because it's worded confusingly.
I know if it says anything about emergency services, 911, stuff like that, then people typically are going to vote in favor of it, whether we get anything or not. So, people are in favor of taking care, protecting themselves. So,
any other questions, comments from the board? So then would we need to, after we direct staff by vote in the direction we want to go, would they need to come back then to get approval for those funds specifically allocated for that public education initiative?
It's up to you. You can authorize a dollar amount today if you want, and just let the staff and my office go with materials that we think are compliant with the statute. Or if you want to see it, obviously, we've got a November election. Your next meeting is a month from now.
Right.
Is that cutting it too close? It's up to y'all.
I think I'd like to understand what the cost might be as well, even if anybody has maybe an idea of what that would be, so that we could properly allocate funds rather than having to come back and approve additional expenditures.
And we can talk today about what y'all think is the best medium for public education. Maybe your staff has thoughts on that. How can we best reach the most number of people for a reasonable dollar amount?
I think social media would probably be the best platform, and really the cost, if we have Wayne work on the verbiage where he gets it safe and factual, then we can just take that. So it'll be our attorney fees and time that it takes Abby to put it on. I don't think it'd be that much.
Well, and would we be in favor of spending some money to promote those on social media?
We can do that as well. Mm-hmm.
So what would be the ballpark cost, do we estimate? I know that's kind of hard on the spot, but maybe if there's somebody who could...
Or even like a not to exceed amount.
Right.
Yeah, what is that amount?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
So it depends on how far I want to go. On average, we usually spend maybe $200 a month to boost Facebook ads. So it just depends. And that goes within our area. So it just depends on how far we want to go and how often we want to push that message out. So it's not that much of a cost.
How far to... If we did it every week, possibly, and Wayne, you could kind of give us an idea of what that's going to cost on your end, and then we could, I'll say $5,000 is safe.
I guess it would just really be, if we're going to push it out, we're pushing out the same message just on a schedule. So really, we would just need your office to evaluate the content and make sure that it doesn't incur any liability.
I just can't believe there's not a... like a link you can just put on there that has there, all the information that some, like say, the independent party.
We could do that as well. I mean, there's cost effect. There's stuff that don't even cost nothing. It's just depending on what you guys want to do.
It's kind of a message. Hey, we're impacted by this, and this is all the information you need.
That's free. Yeah. And, but the thing with the free is they have to come to our page. That's like our page to get that message.
Right.
We want to push that out. No, for them to see it, then that's going to cost us a little bit.
Because I don't think a lot of people are going to our page.
No,
to
exactly.
Research, you know.
Well, that is something that our public safety partners can also utilize and share.
Yes.
Will be important. But you said the $200, what was the frequency on that?
That one is, I believe it goes out once a day, every 2 weeks for the 200 one, but for the whole month.
So 400 a month, so, okay.
Yeah, but Abby's hitting Facebook, Instagram, 2-3 times a week.
Yeah, well, that
will be my question about cost.
Is meeting? I'm sorry.
This really just becomes content that we integrate into our existing public education program.
Correct.
Yeah.
But we would also want to spend some monies then to promote that, to push that out a little further, or have a little more face time with the public for education. So if each one of those forums, I'm not as familiar, so I'm sorry, but is there also a paid option on the other social media platforms for us to promote that message?
No, those are different. Facebook owns Instagram, so it would be a different message on Instagram versus Facebook. Facebook is primarily for photos, and so the people would not, there would be more or less to read it on Instagram versus Facebook.
Okay. So do we feel like maybe...
Our statistics show totally opposite.
No, sir.
We hit more people on Facebook than we do Instagram.
Yes, sir.
I heard wrong. I got brain damage.
So do those need to be two separate motions then, or one motion with the directive and the not to exceed limit? Can that be done in one motion?
It can all be done in one motion.
Okay. So do we have a motion from the board to direct Tarrant County staff to, I don't want to say promote, to publish public education, voter education on Proposition Number 8 and to utilize current staff funding not to exceed $2,000 for that purpose?
Second that motion.
Okay. First from Ms. Washington,
yeah.
Second from Mr. Yeah. Brunson. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Passes. Thank you, Bill.
That's fine.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay. Move on to item number 5, Executive Director Report.
Well, speaking
I'm sorry.
Of... I'm sorry.
Do you mind if I connect you with our legislative person with the city, T.J. Patterson? You may have worked with them before. Just if he can be of any assistance,
absolutely.
Let us know.
Sorry. Thank you. Moving on to number 5, Executive Director Report.
Speaking of public education, some of you have in front of you a commemorative watch, When Seconds Count, just for 911 Day. We always try very hard to promote our telecommunicators twice a year, once during Telecommunicator Week, which is normally in April, a week-long celebration, and then on 911 day, September 11th. So these are from Abby.
Thank you.
Our monthly statistics are on page 16. I just wanted to highlight one area on here, and that is the telematics. You've not seen that before. It's purple. If we hadn't had any, no, we had. Telematics is your accident notifications, maybe from your car. I'm not exactly sure what all they entail, but as you'll see, we've got some information there. Also, we have a new social media platform, which is called Threads. It's brand new, so the numbers are a little small.
Can you kind of explain what that is?
It is in competition with
Twitter.
Oh, okay.
It's by Same Facebook.
So we
have added that to
it had a big boom.
Added that. And then, of course, you have our community events for August. Any questions on any of those? We did not have any board action items from our last meeting. And so I'll move to the town hall regionalization meeting with Chantel.
Well, first of all, I thank you all so much for showing up. Your faces being here shows the support, so I appreciate your support. I'd like to say that the chapter of this is finally closing. There's a couple of more edits that need to occur with Evermint and Northbridge and Hills. Once they finalize those edits, they're going to send me the final assessment report, and I will send that out to everyone. Anybody have any questions on it? That's pretty much it. We're hoping to zip it up.
It's been a long year. Can you talk a little bit about the request that was made during that meeting for an ongoing evaluation or dashboard to kind of evaluate where we're at, consolidations and whatnot?
There is a question that just says that can we provide this on an annual basis to show where agencies are? Really, that's going to fall within the agencies to be willing to share their data with us. We had, at the time we started with 33, out of all of those, we had some consolidations in between, but a little more than half did participate in the study, so it was a struggle trying to get the data. The one with Northbridge and Hills, they provided only data for Northbridge and Hills, even though the ask was for all of their agencies. As far as the ongoing, I mean, that's really up to the agencies. My suggestion, really, we can provide, we've done the base report, we've done that. And so from here, it's really up to them to keep up with what's going on in their organizations. If there's a way that we can assist, I ask for the board to provide me that information on how we can go forward to assist it. Any suggestions, any thoughts?
Is that a arduous ask for district staff to be able to keep up with that once a year for the data gathering, I believe?
Well, we can collect the data, but we don't have the tools to do what MCP did to provide the report back to the agency. So if we want to do that, that's going to come at a cost of us keeping MCP on every annually to say, hey, can we want to do this again to collect this data, and then can you analyze it the way you guys did it for this assessment?
Okay. The nature of the study was we were doing the study for the 911 centers and the PSAPs. It would be very difficult unless we contracted with MCP each year to police that. Now, and I think if I was North Richland Hills, I would want to go in and update my personal one every year, but it would be difficult for them to reach out and ask what other people have done unless they're willing. And so maybe leave it at the local level and then use this as their tool, and then go in and update it how they would like.
Maybe not from a, like that report and that study was pretty exhaustive, but maybe taking some snippets from that. Mm-hmm. I think that data collection would be invaluable to the board as well as we're helping you guys make decisions moving forward. I realize it's very costly and time consuming to do a report of that nature, but I think there was some good data that was pulled from that could be very educational. So maybe we could take a look at that in another time and just see how the district could facilitate keeping up with some version of those metrics
for future decision making.
Some of the measures we do have in-house, like the calls, specifically for the call handling, we have that in-house, but as far as their staff and how much it costs to keep up that staff, we don't have that.
Yeah, I'd be interested in getting some additional costs on what does it look like to have a dashboard and to keep it up. Just, you know what I mean, what extra, what does that look like?
So could we put that on an action item?
Yes.
For the next board meeting, just to give us some data so we could...
Yeah, that last spreadsheet was gold.
Really was.
For the board members.
Yeah.
And y'all are collecting the data in some form or fashion in some place.
Some of it, yes, not all of it.
And if you, understand, it's asked to say, okay, we're gonna start this, but it may save y'all a lot of time down the road. Because if I can see what's going on in the district, I don't necessarily know that I need to come here once a month.
Well, I think too, a lot of it is the education piece to the agencies that are served by the district. When this study first came out and was presented, a lot of agencies decided that that wasn't a good fit for them, that they were not interested in the benefit of the study. And so the information was not provided. But if we look at this from a different perspective and educate the agencies a little different look, or we would like your participation in this, there's, you know, we're not gonna force it, but we are trying to provide you good information to help comparison and decision making within your own jurisdiction. Maybe we'd have a little bit more participation.
And I agree with you, and I think that it came out in the meeting, if you publish it, people are gonna pay attention and participate.
I sure will.
Speaking of publishing, that was mentioned several times during that meeting. Where are we planning on publishing those findings once the resolution is made for Everman and North Richland Hills?
Well, I plan to, once I get the final assessment, I plan to send that out to the same email group that I invited to the meeting. Sandy has provided me a list of everybody who was there. So if they sign the roster, they're going to get the assessment. As far as the final posting of it, I can post it on our website. That is the intended goal, to post it on the website, so because it's public information. So we are actually, on a separate note, we're actually working on doing a PSAP only version on our website. So if you need to go there, or you can go on our regular TC91 website. But I do plan to post it there. It's gonna live within our website.
Thank you. And a big thank you to everybody who was involved in that. I know it was a heavy lift, it was a big project, and we really appreciate the time and energy and dedication you put towards that project. So thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Okay. Any other discussion on the town hall meeting? Thank you, Bill.
Be safe.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, let's move on to item number six, purchases over 50,000.
Okay, this is each year we participate in the Alliance cost sharing. And this is our this year's bill to the Alliance. We've been doing this since we joined the Alliance more than 20 years ago. And it's based on population.
Okay. For the newer board members, can you kind of just give a brief summary of the benefits the district has in Alliance with the Alliance?
Yes. The Texas 911 Alliance is, there's 29 emergency communications districts, or assistance districts is what we are within the state. And the executive directors meet monthly. We usually meet at Love Field 2 months, and then we go to Houston because they're the largest district. And we meet in Houston on the third month, and we do that quarterly for Houston and then monthly at Love Field. The CEO, which we are actually hiring a new CEO because Jim Gerke, who has been there 18 years, is retiring. And so we have a job description out right now for looking, and I think we've got 13 applicants that will be vetting all of us together. We have an attorney, two attorneys, and our lobbyist are Bill, Anya, and Lauren. And they bring us everything back that we need to know what's happening at the state, things that matter about 911, what's happening nationally with the FCC and 911, what's happening with Next Gen 911 that we need to be make comment on, and just keeps us abreast of everything that's happening within our industry. Then 4 times a year when we go to Houston, they have an operational meeting, which the team directors that have to do with technology, GIS, and technical operations, they all come and meet with their counterpart that at the individual districts, and they usually have breakout sessions to talk about any of the issues or trends that are happening with 911. So that's kind of where we're at. Any questions I can answer? And of course, being the second largest in the state, you can imagine that based on population, that drives the fees.
It seems to be money well spent.
Absolutely. Any other questions or comments? If not, do I have a motion to approve requisition number 23-040 for the Texas 911 Alliance cost sharing?
Motion to approve.
Motion from Chief Hall. Second.
Second.
Second from Mr. Brunson. All in favor?
Aye.
That passes unanimously. Move on to item number 7, board resolutions.
Hey, now that we've got a solid board, we need signature cards for the Frost Bank. All board members can sign if I wasn't available or Kevin wasn't available, a board member can sign on our behalf. And Anil, have you passed that around?
So Sandy has that. We have new board members like Sherry mentioned, so we are just updating our bank signature cards.
Thank you. Any discussion from the board? Okay. We have a motion to approve resolution number 23-041, updating our Frost Bank signature cards for the board. Motion.
I'll make the motion.
Okay. Motion from Mayor Richardson. Second?
Second.
Second from Ms. Washington. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. Move on to resolution 23-042.
Just making sure we're all supposed to. Everybody's supposed to sign this?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
This resolution will be discussed between both Anil and Wayne. Each year we have our budget and we have contract management through Wayne and his team. And this has been a particularly tough year. I didn't know last month when I said they've almost lived here when we've had so many things going on that it really is the truth. But we are over budget in this area. We've never been before, but we do have funds. We just need to move them around, and I'm going to let these two gentlemen talk about that.
So, like Sherry mentioned, this has been a year that we have to seek a lot of legal counsel from Wayne's firm. So we have a shortfall of about $35,000, and that's based on the estimation on the invoices that we have received recently. So we do have a surplus budget under category 5429, which are professional service fees. We are requesting that a budget shift would be allowed from 5429, which is professional service contracts, to 5411, which is legal representation.
Any discussion from the board? Do I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve. Second.
First by Ms. Washington, second by Mr. Brunson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. I do have a question, though. In light of that and all the things that we're still going to be going through in 2024, is there a need to make any adjustments to the next fiscal year budget?
Right now, we think that most of the expenditure increase was because of the eminent domain issue. We have discussed a lot in fiscal year 23. Fiscal year 24, we foresee fairly to be simple because there wouldn't be a lot, unless there is a lawsuit if we do decide to file against TxDOT, which I don't foresee right now. But we budgeted the same amount, which is $50,000 a year. But if there would be a need, then we might come back for additional funds.
Okay.
The reality is the staff's been put in a position they're not used to being in with this TxDOT condemnation, the need to acquire the new facilities. I'm working with Kevin right now on a request for qualifications for a construction manager to do the build out of the new facility. Those are hopefully going to taper off, and you know, we get going in the right direction. But, you know, the reality is your staff is very knowledgeable about what they do on a daily basis. This is out of their wheelhouse right now, and there's been a lot of complicating factors that they've asked us to weigh in on. I agree with Anil. I don't anticipate litigation over the TxDOT condemnation. We don't know at the moment, but things look like they're going in a good direction. If that were to change, we'll obviously come back and talk to you about that, but hopefully we're going to be able to resolve all that and get back on track in the next few months on just doing business as usual.
Thank you.
And thank you, Wayne, because he's been very quick to get back to us during sensitive situations. I appreciate it.
We appreciate it. Okay. Well, if there is no further discussion on that item, it is 10:35 on September 18, 2023. The Tarrant County 911 Board of Managers will now convene into executive session pursuant to Chapter 551 Texas Government.
And you would like me to read it?
Yes, ma'am. Are you ready? It is 11:36 on September 18, 2023, and we have ended our closed session and reconvening into open session. Are there any motions from the board to be considered in light of executive session discussion?
Yes, we have two motions for consideration.
Yes, ma'am.
The first motion is to extend the executive director's contract by another year. So it's a rolling two-year contract. This would extend the contract through fiscal year 25. Is that correct? Fiscal year 25. Along with that, also move to include a 10% pay increase to her salary.
Okay.
Move. Yeah, second.
Motion by Ms. Washington, second by Mr. Brunson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any other motions?
I'm sorry. Yes, our second motion is to put a hold on the conversations for the director and deputy director. Deputy director position until we convene in October at our October meeting, so it can give the board a chance to look at wage compression issues. And also discuss policies that may be needed to ensure that as employees receive increases or acting pay or interim pay, that pay is adjusted back at some point. So to allow us time to have conversations about deputy director and director level pay, if we can hold that until the October meeting, we would like to bring that up then.
Okay, so the motion is to include also just a temporary stop on any pay adjustments.
Yes, and along with that, a temporary stop until we convene in October so we can understand that better. And then we will be addressing the deputy director and director merit pay increases and COLA increases in October.
Thank you. Do you have a second for the board?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Any other discussion or motion? Okay, we'll move to item 10, public comment. Seeing that there is no public comment, we'll call this meeting adjourned at 11:39. Thank you all.